pray about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 62, beginning at verse 1. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. Then Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. In all of Psalms 62 and Psalm 63. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful gift, the privilege, the honor, the blessing, the joy that we have in seeking you early in the morning. Thank you for that privilege and opportunity. Lord, anoint us all with a fresh anointing of the Spirit of prayer. Empower us to be a people that walk in obedience to your word, through which you told us to pray without ceasing. Teach us and empower us by your Holy Spirit to live a lifestyle doing just that. And more cause our life to be for your glory continually. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're continuing to remind and encourage you to take the time to look at the powerful new documentary produced by American Family Studios, In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality. In His Image is a critical and urgent message designed to help equip the church to answer culturally controversial questions about gender and sexuality from a Bible point of view. In His Image is a feature-length documentary that presents much-needed truth with compassion and clarity through powerful testimonies, careful Bible teaching, and scientific evidence. You can watch this powerful movie for free. Again, just go to inhisimage.movie, and you can watch it again, inhisimage.movie. We'd like to invite you also to partner with us and receive a special edition DVD of In His Image. Help us spread this powerful message by donating a gift of any amount and receive the two-disc In His Image DVD set. You can share the feature-length documentary with friends and family, fellow church members, and others that you know that really need to grow in their understanding of the issues behind gender and sexuality with all that's going on in our culture today. And you can explore over 3 hours of special features on Disc 2 that include deleted scenes, extended interviews, and biblical answers to commonly asked questions. And your gift helps AFA share the redemptive hope of the gospel presented in this powerful documentary, In His Image. Hope you'll do that. Again, to watch it, go to inhisimage.movie. To watch it for free, again, go to inhisimage.movie. Hope you'll take the time to do that. We are blessed and honored to have once again with us Rhett Barbary. He's the author of The George Washington Carver Effect, More Than Peanuts, A Prophecy, and Thank God for the Boll Weevils. Rhett, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me back on today.
Well, thanks for taking the time to be back with us. And again, you know, when we had the honor of having you on last week, it was pretty obvious that we were only just barely scratching the surface. And there's so much that God has blessed you with insight, understanding, and wisdom in these two books that we're grateful to have you to come back on to share more about it. If you would just briefly just kind of reintroduce yourself to our listeners, and then we'll get into discussing more about the books.
Okay. Once again, my name is Rhett Barbary. I live in central Alabama, right between Birmingham and Montgomery, in a town called Clanton. I have a wife, Amy, and a son, Dyson, who's 18, a daughter, Macy, who's 15, and then a younger cousin that's also living with us, Kylie, who is 13. And then I think I told y'all I have two dogs and two cats and two chickens, so.
Okay.
We're blessed.
All righty. Well, now tell our listeners once again, what led you to write both these books?
It started with the first book, Thank God for Boll Weevils, and it was when I was a co-director for a youth group in Talladega, Alabama. I was driving home on a Wednesday afternoon, and I would teach my lesson on Wednesday nights. And I had realized that I didn't have a lesson prepared that night, and which I usually did. And so I just said a little prayer as I was going down the road and asked the Lord what I needed to teach on that night. And he put a picture in my head of the Boll Weevil Monument in Enterprise, Alabama, which has been there since 1919. And so I was familiar with the story, and I knew it involved George Washington Carver. It involved him coming up with the uses for the peanuts to replace the cotton crops which were being decimated by the boll weevil, which is an agricultural pest. So when I got home after that picture, it was in my head, and I got on the internet to kind of refresh my memory with the story, and I was... when I was then writing the story, and I titled it Thank God for Boll Weevils, which was intended to be just a lesson for the youth group, and I felt the Holy Spirit was still impressing something on me, so I just stopped what I was doing and scooted my chair back, and then I realized that he wanted more than that, than just a lesson. He wanted a book. Mm-hmm. And so that was in around 2008. It took me a while to get it out, but I did all my research and visited the George Washington Carver Museum in Tuskegee and other various museums, and just got educated on the whole process of not only growing cotton but also peanuts. Mm-hmm. And the book came out in 2012. Okay. But it was during that time, 2008, to answer your question, that the Lord spoke to me about the economy and how this story was going to have an effect on the economy. Mm-hmm. And it was just one piece of the puzzle that the Lord had kind of given me. And it took 10, 11 years before it really to come to fruition for me to have the full understanding of what he wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. And some words of a prophecy, really, for our nation. Mm-hmm. And so that's how the book, The George Washington Carver Effect, Much More Than Peanuts, came about.
Okay. Well, for the book, specifically for the book, Thank God for Boll Weevils, what would you say God has helped you to understand is the main mission behind that book?
Well, and I asked God this, I mean, because I really thought when I wrote that was the message that God was talking about, how it was going to have an effect on the economy of the United States. Mm-hmm. And it does have its place in what we're going to talk about. But there's so many things in there. It touches on healing of racial relationships, for one thing. Mm-hmm. Also, just inner healings when we have things in our life that tragedies or adversities that we've gone through and we can't get over them. They kind of are like a chain around our neck. And it gives examples and stories in there about things that have happened to people and how the Lord brings freedom to them. And then also, just really, you know, back then, Pastor Joseph, it was a much simpler life back in during that time in the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have the electronics that we have now and the video games and the different things like that. We really paid attention. We knew who our neighbors were. We spent time with them. Mm-hmm. Travel, of course, they had trains and that type of thing, but still we didn't have the kind of travel that we have now, mm-hmm. Flying all over the country and that type of thing. So it brings us back to a much more simpler time and really kind of quiets our heart, and it brings about healing in our lives. Okay. So to answer your question, that's the Lord showed me that's why he wanted me to include it in this.
Okay.
As well as being able to tell Carver's whole story about mm-hmm. what the Lord led him to do with the peanuts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I want to ask you to, in part, Rhett, I really like to key on Dr. George Washington Carver's prayer life. And before we get into that, I want to ask if you'll pray for our listeners that they'll really receive what the Lord wants to share with them today. But really want to discuss why his prayer life is so critical, not only to who he was and what he did, but to our nation as well. Would you pray for our listeners before we get started with that?
I sure will. Father God, I pray that you would allow me to speak clearer the message that you would have me to give them, that their hearts would be open to receive it, and that they would have an understanding and be able to grasp exactly what you want them to know, the reason why you have inspired me to write this book, the prophetic words that you gave me will all come to fruition, not only for our country, but also in each individual life, and understand how important it is that we meet with you every day, just like George Washington Carver did, and we spend our time with you so that you can direct our steps. We'll ask all these things in your son's precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to share a quick scripture before we get into this next topic specifically. This is Mark 1:35. I shared it before, but it says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." And again, that's Mark 1:35. And of course, that's a scripture about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, obviously, no one prayed more effectively in all of history than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's God as well. And one might would think, well, if anybody didn't need to pray, you'd think that would be Jesus. But of course, Jesus' prayer was a critical part of his life. And so as we get into talking about Dr. Carver, I want to mention this. And actually, Rhett, we're about to come into a break, so we'll pick up on the other side. But as we get into this topic specifically, I think it's so good for us to understand that Jesus is our greatest role model. And it seems that Dr. Carver modeled his prayer life, it appears, after Jesus, getting up early in the morning, going out into the woods and praying
That's
on
right.
a daily basis. And what a powerful role model he really, really is. So we'll really get into that on the other side. Our phone guest today is Rhett Barbary. He's the author of The George Washington Carver Effect, More Than Peanuts, A Prophecy, and Thank God for the Boll Weevils, two books. We'll be right back.
Sometimes it seemed to stoop so close, you could touch it, but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day could be so hot. There was so much work left to do, but so much you'd already done. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my And I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Sometimes I think of Abraham. One star he saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger in this land, and I am that no less than he. And on this road to righteousness, sometimes the climb can be so steep. I may falter in my steps, but never. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step,
good music of Rich Mullins, Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today for part two of discussing his two books, Rhett Barbary. He's the author of The George Washington Carver Effect, More Than Peanuts, A Prophecy, and the author also of Thank God for the Boll Weevils. So in this segment, Rhett, we're going to talk more about the prayer life of Dr. George Washington Carver.
You know, in my book, The Thank God for Boll Weevils, there was a classroom setting, or actually it was a prayer time above, a gathering in prayer, Bible study during the week that Carver would do at Tuskegee Institute. And they would have it there at the chapel, and a number of students would come for that. And he kind of laid out how he went about, you know, his daily prayer. He would get up early in the morning, like you had talked about, really before daylight. And that's before the world starts pulling on, would start pulling on him, all the duties that he had. And this could be a template of how we need to approach things with, if we would get up early, before the phone starts ringing, before, you know, we could call anybody else, that type of thing. And then one thing that I learned in my 30s was that I had a lot of anxiety, and so it was difficult for me to sit still and to pray and to listen to God because of my anxiety. And the Holy Spirit showed me this is really, really fascinating. But the Holy Spirit showed me that caffeine and sugar is a culprit that keeps us from being able to sit still. It actually magnifies anxiety in our life. Now, I know a lot of people just say, I can't do without my coffee when they wake up in the morning. And myself, see, my problem was I'd been drinking coffee since I was 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And I got to where I was drinking 3 and 4 cups a morning, to kind of get going. And so when the Holy Spirit showed me that and verified through different people teachings and so forth what sugar and caffeine can do to you if you have anxiety. And so I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I hate to ask you for a sign, but I've been drinking coffee since I was 4 years old. And I said, if you could give me a sign to know that I need to get off of this. And I want you to know that the very next morning when I made coffee or tried to make coffee, my coffee pot had torn up. And it had been making coffee. That Black & Decker coffee pot had been making coffee for 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it just quit overnight. And I plugged it into several different other outlets to make sure. But I said, well, there's my sign. So I gave up drinking coffee and sugar for quite a while. And it was the change in me to be able to sit still and quiet. Mm-hmm. For the first time in my life, I was able to hear the Lord speak to me. And so it was just made all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. And I approached it in a spirit of fasting, and that's what Carver talks about. Other than a little water, just approach your prayer time in the morning in a spirit of fasting. Mm-hmm. Put your body aside so that your spirit is more awake and can hear what God wants to show you, and you'll be blessed to do that. I wasn't there when Carver, when he would go on these walks and everything, but you can, in your imagination, just see what happened. Mm-hmm. Him walking out into the woods and praying. There were actually times that I read that this wasn't about praying, but it would be maybe 1 or 2 in the morning when Booker T. Washington had so much on his mind, trying to raise money for the school and different things, and he would come by and knock on George Washington Carver's door and just said, I thought perhaps you might like to take a walk with me. Mm-hmm. And they may walk for an hour or more, never say a word to each other. Mm-hmm. But it was just the reassurance that Booker T. had somebody with him, and I'm sure at times that Carver prayed for him, mm-hmm. or gave suggestions and that type of thing. So that whole scenario just very fascinating to me about both of the men. Of course, to be able to write something about one of your heroes is just, how much more exciting can that get? So that's what God allowed me to do.
Hmm. Okay. Well, again, I appreciate you sharing about that. And as I think I've shared with you before, that I've never interviewed prior to you, never interviewed someone who had written a book about Dr. George Washington Carver. But he clearly, for me, has been an inspiration and a source of great encouragement, because the fact is, it does appear that he modeled his prayer habits and prayer life after Jesus. And you don't have a better role model than Jesus. And so the fact that he would take time, and I want to real briefly share, I shared it before, I'm going to share it again, but just a brief excerpt from an article I had the opportunity to write. And this is an article that's on the AFA stand for persons that would like to, just afa.net is where they can pull it up. But the title of the article is Jesus Prayer and Dr. George Washington Carver. But a portion of the article reads, he would rise up early every day and sit before the Lord, who he called Mr. Creator. There with the Lord, Dr. Carver learned secrets that blessed the world. And a scripture reference shared is Jeremiah 33:3. And this is once again an excerpt from the book entitled The Man Who Talks with the Flowers by Glenn Park. Dr. Carver once made this quote. He said, there's literally nothing that I ever wanted to do that I asked the blessed Creator to help me to do that I have not been able to accomplish. It's all very simple if one knows how to talk with the Creator. It is simply seeking the Lord and finding Him. All my life I've risen regularly at 4 o'clock and have gone to the woods and talked with God. There he gives me my orders for the day. When people are still asleep, I hear God best and learn my plan. Amen. After my morning's talk with God, I go into my laboratory and begin to carry out his wishes for the day. Amen. And just an encouragement to every single listener. Make it your goal to saturate your life and your family and your concerns with prayer. And keep in mind, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of prayer. He teaches us to pray. He empowers us to pray. He guides us. Now, he doesn't make us. We have to choose to be a people of prayer, but if we do, the Holy Spirit will help us. I want to invite every listener now. I'm going to pray for our listeners that we would be wise enough to recognize that God calls all of us to pray. He tells all of us to pray without ceasing, but we need the Holy Spirit to teach us how to do it. But if we'd resolve that we'll do it, the Holy Spirit is more than glad to help us. Father, thank you for our brother Rhett, and thank you for the book, that the books that he's written that are sources of encouragement, wisdom, and insight about servants you've used in the past, and Dr. Carve in particular. Thank you for our great role model, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who would, as Mark 1:35 tells us, would get up early in the morning and go off to a solitary place and pray. Lord, help us to recognize that in the busyness of life, every day there's so many things we do that we spend our time, our effort, our energy on. But Lord, help us to recognize there's nothing more important in our lives than you. And as we walk with you and talk with you and spend time with you, that's how we can learn how to live a successful life. Lord, we thank you for every single listener listening today. Lord, anoint us all today with a fresh and a mighty anointing with the spirit of prayer, worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Help us to recognize, Lord, that you call all of us to pray, and that in our busyness, we need to recognize that nothing is more important than you. And as we walk with you and as we talk with you, we'll learn how to walk in real wisdom. Lord, more and more, guide us and teach us by your Holy Spirit to be people given to prayer. Just like your disciples were wise enough to ask you to teach us to pray, we're asking you afresh today, Lord. Teach us and empower us to be the prayer warriors you've called us to be. Lord, help us to start habits like this one of getting up early in the morning, long before others begin to stir, and spending time and seasons with you in prayer. And help us to recognize, Lord, that time spent with you in prayer is never, ever, ever wasted time. In fact, help us to know, Lord, that it's some of the most productive time we can possibly spend in our lives. Guide us, Father, to be the people of prayer that you want us to be. Anoint your church afresh with the spirit of prayer, worship, and the spirit that would cause us to seek you continually. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. And more, use us as your vessels to accomplish your will. And as you use Dr. Carver, help us to know, Lord, that as we seek you for the wisdom that we need to be more effective at the things you've called us to do, that not only are you able to do it, you're more than able to help us to be effective vessels and instruments in your hand. We need but seek your wisdom, your hand, and your grace. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, our guest today is Rhett Barber. He's the author of The George Washington Carver Effect, More Than Peanuts, A Prophecy, and also the author of Thank God for the Boll Weevils. Now, I asked you specifically about the mission behind your first book, Thank God for the Boll Weevils. When you wrote the book, The George Washington Carver Effect, More Than Peanuts, what would you say is the overall mission of this particular book?
Well, it was a prophetic word from God. And so it was, he actually spoke it to me, and I knew that the message was for our entire country. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, I started writing this, I could tell it was over my head. But the Lord had told me, and I shared this in the first broadcast mm-hmm. last week, that, you know, lots of times I would have to stop what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And have to go to a park and just sit and pray and read my Bible. And mm-hmm. each time I would do that, he would lead me to the information that I needed to know. Mm-hmm. So I was spending a lot of time in prayer myself. And then I came to the point where I had finished writing what I wanted to for the George Washington Carver Effect, but I still had to write the preface. Mm-hmm. That was, it, for some reason, that was such a struggle for me, and mm-hmm. It was so difficult. And the best I can remember, it hadn't been that long ago, but it seemed like it. You know, I started writing it so many times over a 3-week period, and it wasn't what needed to be written. I could tell. Mm-hmm. So finally, because we're talking about prayer here, whether it be Carver or ourselves, and I found a quiet place. I came before the Lord, and I remember him telling me, he said, I don't want you to write what you want to write. He said, I don't want to write what others have written. I want you to write what I want you to write. And when he told me that, it took about 10 minutes and I had it done. And it was prophetic in itself. And I'd like to share that with the readers a little bit.
Okay.
It won't take that long. I'm sure by the title of this book, you might be asking what George Washington Carver has to do with our present economy, or for that matter, the Great Awakening. I found myself asking those same questions and others while writing this book. As a matter of fact, there were many times I could barely get a new paragraph finished without having to stop, visit a nearby park to clear my mind, and receive further revelation from God. And God was always faithful. Each time I needed understanding, he revealed it to me, either through information already made available by others or by something he had previously impressed upon me. All I had to do was look back on my notes that I had taken. George Washington Carver gave us much more than peanuts. He gave us a template of how we should approach our Creator when we find ourselves in dire circumstances. He did this when the South's economy was being devastated by an agricultural pest in the early 1900s. The boll weevil had been eating up the cotton.
Rhett, I'm going to have to jump in here. We're going to pick up on the other side as you, and let you finish the preface there. Our phone guest today is Rhett Barbary, the author of The George Washington Carver Effect, More Than Peanuts, A Prophecy. We'll be right back. Music from Mosaic, Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Rhett Barbary. He's the author of The George Washington Carver Effect, More Than Peanuts, A Prophecy, and Thank God for the Boll Weevils. Rhett, before we get back to the preface, would you tell our listeners if they'd like to get this book, how could they get it?
It's available through Amazon. It can also be ordered through most bookstores, including Barnes & Noble.
Okay, then. And would you say, who would you encourage to get this book?
Oh, any believer needs to get this book, because what we're going through, they need to be a part of this. praying for our economy. Also, there may be different things in their lives that need to be touched upon by the Holy Spirit, psychologically, emotionally. And so both books are included in one. And both of them will cover so much of what you might be going through in your life, or to put you in a position to help pray for our economy, which is what the Lord is calling us to do.
Right. Okay, then. Okay, share one more time how to get the book then.
It can be available. It's available through Amazon. Also, it can be ordered through bookstores, including Barnes & Noble.
Okay, then. And again, the full titles of the two books are in the combined in this one book. The full titles: The George Washington Carver Effect, Much More Than Peanuts, A Prophecy.
Right.
And then the other book, Thank God for Boll Weevils, all in one book. Okay.
Right.
We interrupted you while you were reading the preface. I tell you what, would you just start over reading the preface for us?
Okay. I'm sure by the title of this book, you might be asking what George Washington Carver has to do with our present economy, or for that matter, the Great Awakening. I found myself asking those same questions and others while writing this book. As a matter of fact, there were many times I could barely get a new paragraph finished without having to stop, visit a nearby park to clear my mind, and receive further revelation from God. And God was always faithful. Each time I needed understanding, He revealed it to me, either through information already made available by others, or by something He had previously impressed upon me. All I had to do was look back on the notes I'd taken. George Washington Carver gave us much more than peanuts. He gave us a template of how we should approach our Creator when we find ourselves in dire circumstances. He did this when the South's economy was being devastated by an agricultural pest in the early 1900s. The boll weevil had been eating up the cotton, the South's largest cash crop. Professor Carver asked God, "How can I best help the farmers?" The chain reaction of good fortune that soon followed from that one prayer was nothing short of a miracle. It brought about a huge economic turnaround for the South, and at the same time exposed a hidden pathway no one realized was there. Now, as a country, we are facing a much larger crisis. Our moral boundaries are eroding at a pace we've never witnessed before. Add to this the tremendous debt incurred by COVID-19 and the loss of friends and family members because of the virus. There's no doubt at times like these that we are inclined to cry out and ask, "Where is our God?" Listen, I am not a professional prophet, and I have not trained to be one. I'm just a salesman and a writer. Yet God has chosen me to give a message to the United States, which is this: close up the injustices of the generations that came before you. Posture your heart like my servant George Washington Carver did and pray. If you are faithful to do this, I will hand you keys from heaven and reveal my hidden pathways to you. Then listen as the kings of other nations and people throughout the world begin to cry out, "Surely America worships the one true God." And that's exactly what God wants us to do, is to posture our hearts like George Washington Carver did, and to pray and ask, how can we best help our economy here in the United States? And that starts even with our own households. That's part of the economy. Things that He will show us, that whether it's starting a new business or doing something different than the way we've been doing things, it's, the list is endless. And if you'll just sit and listen to God, I picture many times Carver being in his laboratory after God had spoke to him and told him to gather up a handful of peanuts, take them in your laboratory, and let's see what we can make from them. And Pastor Joseph, you know the story, but he came up eventually with over 300 uses for the peanuts. I think some of the very first things he came up with were simple things like shaving cream and shoe polish, various things like that, but then they became more complicated and intricate as he went on. My understanding is even he can make gasoline from peanuts. I'm sure he had to mix different chemicals in with the oils and the different things like that to get the effects he wanted. But he was his mind was just so fascinating. I heard that, he loved to paint. And he would go and get clay, Alabama clay, red clay, mix it with some peanut oil and different things and make his colors, make his actual, a lot of his own paints he would make himself. I even heard that the color purple, which they used back in the biblical times to dye the robes and that type of thing with, that it was a lost art. They didn't know where they got that from, that particular color. And he came up with it through adding things to clay and so forth. So he kind of reinvented that particular color, is my understanding. It's all fascinating when you read about these things, about him. You can tell that he was a man that met with God. And God wants every one of us to come to him like Carver did it with a heart of a child. And God honors that. And it's like I wrote in Thank God for Beau Evels when I was talking about Carver, and he made the statement, and I know he's probably never really made the statement exactly the way I did when I was kind of using him. But, you know, I think that God gets goosebumps when he knows that we're coming to meet with him. He gets so excited that his children are coming to meet with him.
Praise God.
So keep that in mind when you come to pray, that, you know, we read the story about how the father, the prodigal son, and how the father runs out to meet with him. You just think how meeting with God every morning and how he's ready for us to meet with him. It's really a beautiful dance. It really is.
Well, Rhett, I want to ask, I'm going to share the scripture that you had at the end of the preface, and then I want to ask you to pray for listeners to really grasp the wisdom and the encouragement and the challenge you lay before them, and pray that our listeners would really take to heart the challenge. So the scripture is Esther chapter 4, verse 14 that you wrote at the end of that you shared at the end of the preface. Perhaps this is the very moment for which you have been created. Would you pray for our listeners now, Rhett, please?
I certainly will. Father God, there's never been a more exciting time for us to be alive, to see what you're about to do through the Great Awakening. And Father, the thing that we know that you're asking us to do is to meet with you and to pray specifically for our economy. And Father, you've shown me the reason why that's so important is because it opens up the doorway for the gospel to spread throughout the entire world. We pray, Father, that the people will take the time to read about this and to understand exactly how we're to go about posturing our heart like George Washington Carver did. He gave us that template, Lord, but you taught him how. He's such a great example. And we would just pray that everybody takes this serious and they won't pass up this opportunity to be a part of what you want us to do. And I ask these things in your son's holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you for our brother Rhett, and thank you for the wisdom and the insight that he shared in the book. And Father, I thank you in particular for just the prophetic message that you gave to him. Father, you told him, you shared with him basically the message was, close up the injustices of the generations that came before you. Posture your heart like my servant George Washington Carver did and pray. If you're faithful to do this, I will hand you keys from heaven and reveal my hidden pathway to you. Then listen as the kings of other nations and people throughout the world begin to cry out, surely America worships the one true God. Lord, help us as the church to really hear your wisdom that you shared through our brother Rhett here. And help us to walk that wisdom out. Help us to recognize that we're vessels that you can use mightily to accomplish your will. Our job is to be humble enough to listen to your word and your spirit and obey. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Red, our time is almost gone here. Wanted to ask, share one more time again, if someone wants to get the book, tell them again how they can get the book.
It's available through Amazon, and again, the title is The George Washington Carver Effect, Much More Than Peanuts. That's a prophecy, and included in with this is a novel that was written before that I wrote it, Thank God for Beau Evels. And between the two of them, you're going to see how God laid down the template through George Washington Carver about what we're supposed to do. And then through the novel, you'll also get to read about his life and about what happened in the South with the boll weevil and how he brought the South out of an economic depression.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, share with our listeners, you're using the word template. What would be another word? Would you say pattern? Or how would you describe exactly another way to say what you're saying?
Would be a very strong example of how we're supposed to approach God with what we're doing. And part of that is to set aside time, like you talked about. But we're in a dire circumstances, and the South was in a dire circumstances during that time with the boll weevil. And Carver realized that, and he knew that the farmers were basically the economy back then. Mm-hmm. And so we're a little different now with what all makes up our economy, but still we need to come before God, praying specifically for that. But before we actually do that, there are certain things we need to pray about to kind of close up the injustices and heal our land. And that allows the Holy Spirit to move through once the thicket is cleared and to bring about the blessings that he wants us to bring about in our country.
Okay. All righty. Well, again, thank you so much, Rhett. Share one more time how to get the book.
Available through Amazon. Also through can be ordered through most bookstores, including Barnes & Noble.
Okay. Would you suggest that this is a good book for children to read as well?
Well, up to a certain age, I would think you probably need to be in your kind of your middle to late teens before you read it to fully comprehend it. Mm-hmm. It's not a children's book about George Washington Carver at all. Mm-hmm. More for adults, and being a teenager would be fine to read it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Some of the heavy issues that you touch on, of course, might be a little tough for kids to maybe handle. But again, the insights are critical to any and every believer in our nation. So, Rhett, thank you again for coming on and sharing about these books.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And again, we want to encourage you, pray for Rhett as he continues to share the message behind the book, and pray for the ministry the Lord's called him to as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.